Aren't you glad Jesus stepped in? Amen. Aren't you glad some young people yielded themselves to be used of God in a form of song? Man, praise the Lord. That's a blessing. Appreciate that. Appreciate that, ladies. John chapter number 10. Good to see you this morning. I don't know if it's you're allowed or supposed to wish people a happy Memorial Day weekend, but thankful for the country that we live in. Thankful for those that serve our country. I understand that there's a difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day, and I so appreciate those men and women that made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms and liberty here, and I really do appreciate that. And John chapter number 10, starting in verse number 11. John chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. And God, as we think of those servicemen and women that have given their life for our liberty, Lord, thank you for giving your life for salvation. God, thank you for willfully and willingly laying it down that we might have hope. God, we would no longer be bound by the chains of sin. And God, thank you for forgiveness. God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Lord, I pray that you would bless the service now. God, our desire here today is to just lift your name up. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It is a beautiful weekend. It's going to be nice. I don't know if you have plans tomorrow, but I'm thankful to be in church house this morning. And we had a good Sunday school class. I heard the ladies' Sunday school class went tremendously well. Would you like me to turn this on, Joe? Why don't you come on up here and do it yourself? No, I'm sorry. Appreciate our sound guys making things work. And somehow, I don't know how it works, but that little machine in the back sends this message to whoever wants to log in to Facebook. I don't understand it. I'm just glad it does it. And hopefully, if you're online watching us, if you ever have the opportunity to come and visit with us here, we would love to see your smiling face, not just a name behind the computer. If you're homesick, well, we hope you recover. Hope you recover quickly. Bible says in John chapter number 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. How many of you are blessed by God giving his life for you? Absolutely. That is the direct expression of his grace to us, giving us what we did not nor do not deserve. The Bible says he's the good shepherd. There are some shepherds out there trying to lead that don't have the word of God or don't have what God has disposed to him. I wouldn't call him the good shepherd. The Bible says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. I saw a video this past week. A little child had a bear wander into their yard, and the little child was going up to pet the teddy bear. It was a living black bear, brown bear. I don't know the difference. Obviously the color, but I don't know. They all look the same to me. And it was kind of grainy video. Man, mom went booking after the bear. Why? Well, mama bear didn't like her little cub near the bear. Scared half to death a black bear. Man, I'm glad I got a shepherd that watches over me. That as I wander around and kind of get a little lost sometimes in the faith a little bit and kind of wander off the pasture, if you will, Jesus Christ notifies and sees the wolf and goes after it. Praise the Lord. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I cannot say that about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ cares for me. He cares for you. Verse 14, we are reminded again, I am the good shepherd. And look at this phrase now. And know my sheep, and am known of mine. We think those phrases are almost synonymous. Sure, to know my sheep and be known of my sheep, that's the same thing. No, no.
No, not at all. God knows us. He knows our needs. He knows our what His plan is for us. He knows the direction and path for our life. And in return, this isn't some abstract thought. I can personally have a relationship with that one. Not only does God know me, but I can know Him. John chapter 10 and verse 3, the Bible says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Oh, there's about 7.8 billion people in this world, and yet God somehow, some way, knows all their names. Yesterday I was at a memorial service and ran into some people knew them by face, but I couldn't remember their name. Isn't that bad? Where's Pastor Seaman? Pastor Seaman's the worst with names. He tells me. He says, Who is that? I'm like, "That's your wife, Roy. Her name's Melanie. You should really know. That's Isaiah, buddy. He's been living at your house." But man, imagine the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows us by name. By name. That's personal. That's personal. I don't know if you've been aware of the things that have been going on in this world the last, 2,000 years, specifically the last 2 weeks. So why do things like that? Sin. That's why. What should we do? I'll tell you what you should do. You should get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, how will that fix? That'll fix everything. You make God your God. And God says, "I have blessings." People say, "No, we need back in our public schools is God." I'm not sure God was ever there. Say, "Well, there was prayer." I understand that. But you follow some of the public education history, and yeah, there was some moral code, but was God ever the focal point? I don't know. Thankful for a Christian school. Say, we need to get back to God. Were we ever there? I don't know. But I think there should be a revival of our hearts and say, during these dark times, do not run away from God, run to God. In the hardest times of your life, what should we do? We should get as close to the shepherd as we could. In my life, in yours, not only does he know us, but we are, as it says in verse 3, he knows us and have known of him. In verse 14, and know the sheep and have known of mine. To have a personal relationship with the Lord. Lord knows our needs. There's a little park just up the road from our house. It's called Particas. Anybody familiar with Particas? Particas has ice cream. They have playgrounds. The kids were a little restless, the two little ones yesterday. So I said, "Hey, let's load up." Sam and Joe were playing a game together. And I said, Sarah was out with Abby. I said, "How about we go up to Particas?" "Oh, that'd be great." As we're in the car, do not ask for ice cream. Don't ask. They're running around, they're playing, and all of a sudden they both come. You've seen it, you've known it, you can hear it almost in your own child's voice. "Dad?" "Yeah, buddy, what do you need?" "Well..." What we think we need versus what we actually need. Aren't you glad the good shepherd knows what we need? Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Say, what'd you do? I didn't get him ice cream, I'll tell you that. They're on a thin line to just be breathing. Matthew chapter number 6. If you're a parent, you understand what that means. Matthew chapter number 6, look at verse 8. God knows our needs. See, he knows us. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." I'm watching the children come walking up to me. I know what they're going to ask. But the Lord actually knows what we need. So as you look in your life and you see how God has led and guided in your life, things that are beyond your control, and you think, what was God doing? He knows what you need. Matthew chapter 6. Did I have you in John or Matthew? Matthew, good, because that's where you're supposed to be. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Well, say, what do we need? I need food and clothes and shelter and love and care. And so, yeah, I know that, God says, and I can meet those needs. Not only does he know our needs, but he knows the direction and path for your life. Hey, young person, if you're wandering and not quite sure what the next step is, don't neglect the Word of God. Don't neglect God's direction for your life. The Bible says again in John chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. God, as our shepherd, is able to lead the sheep. I think John chapter 10 is one of the best chapters in teaching and practically applying knowing the will of God and then doing the will of God. Why? Because I have to be able to hear the voice of God. Hey, if you're about to make a decision and you have not heard in your heart confirmation from the Scriptures what God is saying, don't make that decision. Why? Because you're being led by, you're leading the shepherd rather than the shepherd leading you. That's dangerous. Why? Because the shepherd actually knows what you need. Primer sitting on the right side, throwing me way off. You all right? Feeling good? All right. Wait, that would be the left. You're on the left. Brother Primer, move to the left. Just saying. All right. God still can speak to us on the left side as the right side. I'm just letting you know. All right. Isn't it good to know that God has a path and direction for your life? So how do I know it? Just ask him. And then be able to listen. Hey, there's some things that really cloud our ears and our eyes and seeing God's will for our life. And what is that? That's sin. That's self-righteousness. That's self-will. When we yield ourselves to God, man, things all of a sudden get really clear. A little while ago, we were setting up for our Sunday school class, and I'm adjusting the focus. And there that focus, you can turn it one way and put the picture out of focus. And it's hard to even read what that thing is. It's written right, but it's just hard to read it. Sometimes in our life, there's things that blur our vision of the Lord. Hey, before making a major decision in your life, make sure things are right and clean before you and him. Why? Because you got to be able to hear that. Can I tell you, though, what confidence comes in knowing that you're going and doing exactly what God would have you to do? Oh, man. There's no greater peace. There's no greater joy. There's no greater feeling in knowing that God has led us, praise the Lord, all the way, as we just sang. Jesus has led me all the way. Let's get to our passage here this morning. Say, what was all that? Intro. Liam, you doing good? All right. Psalm chapter 23. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Psalm chapter 23, written by King David himself. As we read through, I do want to draw our attention to just one verse here this morning. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake." You notice the shepherd here, leading. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hey, this is for his benefit. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. What are they? They're a comfort to me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Again, do you notice that the Lord is ahead of us in each one of these circumstances? Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Man, you get close to the Lord Jesus Christ, you present your body a living sacrifice, as we were talking about in Sunday school, and you just get close, and it feels like you just show up with a little 8-ounce cup or a 6-ounce cup, and he's got 2.5 gallons of goodness just overflowing. My cup runneth over, he says. I want to draw our attention to this now. In this, we have to look back a little bit. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. First five verses of Psalm chapter 23 tells about the shepherd. And where is the shepherd? The shepherd is ahead of us, and he's leading us, and he's guiding us right where the shepherd ought to be. In John chapter 10, the shepherd is leading the sheep. That's how it ought to be. But every now and then, it's a good idea to just kind of look back in the rearview mirror and see where you've come from. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I look in the rearview mirror of my life with the Lord, and as I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, as I look back, you know what I see? I see a path, and that path has been paved with His goodness and His mercy. Sometimes when you're in it, you don't necessarily see it like that. Sometimes when you're taking those steps, but man, when you look back, you realize how far you've come. There was a time in my life when I used to run, then broke some ribs. It just kind of took me out of the race. Samuel broke my ribs, just in case you're wondering how that happened. You say, wow, we've noticed that he's been lifting. Yeah, but this is like 10 years ago. Maybe not 10, but it was a while. Anyways, you get looking ahead, and man, it's like, wow, that's a long way to go before my next turn. And you just plod along, and all of a sudden, for a second, you look back, and you realize how far you've come. I'm not saying you should always drive looking in your rearview mirror. That's dangerous. But every now and then, it's a good idea, yes, as we follow the shepherd, and as we follow him, as he leads us, as he meets all of our needs, he brings us to pastures, he leads us in the paths of righteousness, he leads me through the valley, he prepares a table before me. I'm sitting at the table with the Lord, and my cup runneth over. But every now and then, I can look back and go, wow, God has been with me the entire time. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's goodness expressed through His grace. As I look back, and as you look back in your life, you can see the grace of God. As He has taken a sinner and made them, Jacob, a saint. What a tremendous transition. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was lame, and now I can walk. Not only that, it's kind of like the, he went walking and leaping and praise. Man, he didn't just give me life in my legs. He gave me a rice energy. That's what we got a hold of. I went from a sinner doomed on my way to hell, and he says, hey, I got a different path for you. Just come to me, and he offers the beautiful gift of grace. His goodness expressed in the cross. Romans chapter number 2. We have 2 points this morning, goodness and mercy. Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God, what has it done? It is leading me, leadeth thee to repentance. God's goodness led us directly to repentance. Psalm chapter 86. Psalm 86. Again, I don't know if you mark up your Bible or not. I know some people don't like to do that. Maybe you like to make little notes or something. Psalm 86 and verse 5 is a good verse to review and visit regularly. For thou, Lord, art good, Psalm 86, 5, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Bible reminds us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No difference between the Jew and the Greek anymore. For thou, Lord, art good. As I look in the rearview of my life, and I see His goodness, how so? Expressed to us through salvation. What an opportunity. What a great opportunity. And in light of salvation, then we can serve him. You understand that obedience to God brings joy, and true joy in our life. John chapter number 15. Let's go there. John chapter 15. In verse 9. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. John 15. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. How do we do that? By keeping his commandments. You want to find someone that's joyful? Find someone that's walking with the Lord. You want to find a miserable person? Find someone that's far away from the things of God. Why? Because obedience to God produces something that the world cannot. It's called joy. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. See, the Christian life is so hard. No, it's not. No, it's not. So what do you mean? Do what God says. Yeah, but no, there's no yeah buts. There's no excuse. You want to live a joyful, victorious Christian life? Obey God. Yeah, but that's hard. Yeah, no kidding. Thankfully, you have a room full of people and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God to help you along the way. Isn't that a blessing? There's some people that, I want to remind you, there's some people that are a little bit ahead of you in this walk with the Lord that can help you along the way. Hey, I've been where you were at. Yeah, I remember that mile marker. That was a difficult stretch. Let me tell you how the Lord got me through. Hey, be a help. Be a help. Obedience to God brings true joy. I dare say, joy is obedience. There is joy in obeying God. Psalm chapter 16. Again, a verse I go to regularly. John chapter 16, verse 11. John 16, verse 11. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. John, did I say John? Mrs. Reynolds, you could have done better up here. I was in her seat. She came up and stood right by me. I'm talking to Brother Williams, and she's just standing there. I said, am I in your seat? She said, yes, sir, you are. I said, well, how about this? How about you go preach and I just sit here? She's like, I can't do that. I said, all right. Psalms chapter number 16 in verse 11. It'd be a lot easier if you just all had my notes and you could just read this and know where I'm at. Appreciate your patience with me. Psalm 16 in verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. I'm miserable. You're away from the Lord. I've got no joy in my life. You're away from God. You have personally chosen to disobey God. So how do you know? Because his goodness and his joy has had when you have fellowship close with him. Say, no, you don't understand the circumstance. That's what it says. You're either calling God a liar or you've lied to yourself. The Bible warns us, let no man deceive himself. We'll convince ourselves that we're right all day long, but if it is contrary to the Word of God, it doesn't matter what we say. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Does that mean every circumstance around us goes right? Oh, no. No. But our joy comes from a real relationship with God himself. As the shepherd leads the sheep. There are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 34 and verse 8. An invitation is made, Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I like different kinds of foods and like to try new things. Sometimes that works out good, sometimes that doesn't. Try this. It's delicious. If I bring something home, the kids, I would like to say try it, but the word is devour. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hey, can I invite you to try something out? What's that? Trust God. Allow Him to lead you and guide you in your life. Why? Because His paths and His way is good. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. As I look back in my life, what I've seen the goodness of God. Personally speaking, I can tell you this is true. I had a mother who was searching for salvation for years and years of her life, making a wreck of her life. And at 6 years old, my parents got divorced. At 10 years of age, the Lord, just perfect circumstance, neighbor invited us to church. Say, was it the church we were looking for? No, it was Jesus. My mom had bounced around from place to place. I remember trying different churches and as a kid going to Sunday school class and co-pastor, husband and wife. And I remember things like that, not knowing. Found ourselves in churches that just didn't preach the gospel. And what a sad thing that there was a family looking for hope and couldn't find it in the church house. Until finally we came across a church that preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Changed our life. I look back and I go, wow. God was good to us. Yeah, I had a searching mother, but salvation showed up at our house that day. There were times in our life that there would be food and presents on our doorstep. We had a concrete slab of a porch, so you couldn't like sneak up on it. Why? Because it was so solid. There was no creaking stairs or anything. It was just solid, big concrete slab. People would sneak up and put stuff there. And then where we live now, we don't have a doorbell, but back in Irondequoit, someone would ring the bell. They were gone, and there would be on our front porch a pile of groceries. I look back and say, wow, God's been good. We were in a rough time. I remember RG&E was going to shut us off. My mom was a single mom. She had a brain tumor. The first time they didn't get it, they had to go back in the second time. I had brain surgery twice. Man, it was tough. Going through all that, RG&E was going to shut us off, and the church took up an offering and paid our RG&E bill. Man, that's a blessing. As a young man seeing all that, say, man, you probably didn't want to have anything to do with God. Actually, quite the opposite. I saw the faith of my mother, and I thought, that's the only thing that's real in this life. I want to get in as much as God would allow me. I want to be involved. So in 10th grade, that summer, I surrendered my life. God, use me however you want. Say, did you know it would leave you here? No. I just made myself available. But the Bible says, he that desireth the office of a bishop desireth a good thing. Had the opportunity in my 11th grade year, start going to North Star Christian Academy at the time, 1994, 95. Worked at Wegmans. I was 15 years old. Worked at Wegmans. Sat down in Uncle Wally's office. Some of you know who Uncle Wally is. All right, Walt Malcolm. sat down in his office, and we worked out a payment plan. Every week, I would take $25 from my check and pay for my school tuition. Year following, didn't have enough. Someone paid my way to go to school. I remember finding out my junior year that I would be able to come back my senior year. Say, who is that? I have no idea. No idea. Graduating from high school, after looking back, I go, wow, God had met my needs. God is good. Went to Bible Institute, started at First Bible Baptist Church. Things started changing over there. All of a sudden, we find ourselves, my parents were going here. I was going to First Bible. I was 2 years into the Bible Institute, and I had to make a decision. Our house was kind of split. We were going to two different places. Again, parents were coming here. I was going to First Bible. Say anything against, I don't know. It was just a weird time. Just made a decision and just started coming here and started Bible Institute from scratch again, and 4 more years of Bible Institute, 6 years of Bible Institute. That's a long time. Living in Irondequoit, I remember nights and, God, you got to help me get home. Like, I'm tired, worked, and all that kind of stuff. And a little bunny would run across the parkway, scare me half to death. And man, your adrenaline goes, and that's enough to get you off the parkway. That would carry you through. Got to learn the scriptures. Thankful for that. Mom passed away in 2001. God was working in Sarah's life at the time. She was living in Spain or Germany, and she had just been here, and she wasn't, if you ask her testimony, she'll tell you. She wasn't doing what she was supposed to be doing, and God was working on her heart and just crushing her heart, and I remember her saying, hey, I think I want to join Bible Institute. I said, that's really tough because you live in Spain. We didn't have this. And for her to make a decision to move back here, 2002, we were married. Pretty much got married and graduated Bible Institute all in 2002. And then by September of 2002, Lord allowed us to start working with the young adults. And for the next 17 years, that would be our ministry. Look back in the rearview mirror and I think, wow, God, you are good. Good to us. Took a whole year, and I was fasting and praying, not fasting and praying for a whole year. That would be miraculous. Took a whole year and fasting and praying. I would fast every Wednesday, asking God, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Had a desire to possibly be a teacher. I love the Word of God, love teaching, and thought about going back to school to get a bachelor's in teaching. It was at that time Pastor Huber and Pastor Kopacheski asked me, would you consider teaching here at the Christian school? And Lord, again, giving me my heart's desire. And here we are now, Sarah and I. This July will be 20 years of marriage. Thankful for our 5 healthy children. Mental health not included, but they all live in the home. Thankful for that. Thankful that they're all in church this morning. Look in the rearview mirror and I see God's. Along this path, it's been paved with His goodness. So your life's different than my life. I guarantee if you stop for a moment and look back, you can see His goodness. Say, there's been some ups and downs, I understand. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, the ups are these sharp peaks, and it feels like the downs are these long valleys. I wish it would be a sharp valley and long plateaus, but it doesn't seem to go like that, Brother Rodell. So you get a victory and wham, and all of a sudden it seems like it all comes crashing down and it's this long, slow desert to get you out. But along the way, we can look back and say, God has been good. I couldn't have orchestrated or put my life together as how God has, but I've, as best as I could, walked in the direction that He's led. than choose this necessarily right here at this moment, but would have done things a little bit differently. It wasn't up to me. This next Sunday will be 4 years of pastoring Walker Bible Baptist Church. Say, what are you saying? I'm just saying I look back and I see the way paved with God's goodness. Surely goodness has followed me all the days of my life. But not only has he been good, he's been merciful. James 2:13 reminds us that mercy defeats judgment. Isn't that good? I'd much rather experience the mercy of God, Jacob, than the judgment of God. And more times, I have not seen his judgment. Rather, I have been the wonderful recipient of his mercy. The forgiveness of our sins, John chapter number 8. Hope you understand, I'm not trying to make the message about me or my life. I'm just saying, taste and see that the Lord is good. I've seen some things. I've gone down the path, and I just wanted to testify to you this morning, even in the peaks and valleys of life, the goodness of God has laced the way. So is his mercy. Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 1, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? And there you and I sat on the judgment seat across from the judge, and we came and we stood before God with our sin. And they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Brother King asked me, he said, what do you think they wrote? I said, I have no idea. Their name, someone else's name, a date, a circumstance, a commandment. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And just like that song, Blessed Assurance, this is my story. This is my song. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I look back at my life, and yes, I've seen God's goodness and expressed to me in his grace, but I've also seen his mercy. Deserving of his judgment, what did he show up with? Mercy. Just like this woman. And so did he for you. God's mercy. The forgiveness of our sin. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, but... Oh, here, go there. Titus 3, 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The forgiveness of our sins. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, we're told of a king, his name is Manasseh. Good king or bad king? Well, he starts off really bad. So bad that he's offering his children as sacrifice to the false god of Molech and burning them and doing things. In the temple of God, he's bringing in idols. So what'd God do? Well, let's look. 2 Chronicles chapter number 33. Just another example of God's mercy. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. We're almost done. 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 12. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord. This is Manasseh. The Lord is God. Why is he in affliction? Because he sinned against God. And humbled himself greatly before the Lord, the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem and into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Has God not expressed and shown his mercy that at the end of the day you walk away and go, God is who he says he is? Just like Manasseh. Manasseh was doing evil, wicked things, and yet God extended the hand of mercy. Aren't you thankful for God's mercy in your life? Just look back and for a moment and see what should have or could have and what did. God's mercy. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and we'll be done. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. In verse 12, and I thank Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Look at verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The opportunity to be able to serve him. What an act of grace, what an act of mercy. Paul says, I'm here only by God's mercy. I was wicked, I actually fought against the cause, and now here I am. God's cheerleader. Man, how great is that? Went to a girl's house yesterday, knocked on her door. She opened the door. She was dyeing her hair. Who was with me? Was Joe, were you with me? She had tinfoil in her hair, did she not? And it was strange. And so she opens the door. She's like, I'm dyeing my hair. No kidding. That or you're trying to contact aliens, whatever. I said, my name's Nick, and this is, you know, three of my kids. I had you, Sophie, and Hudson, I think, or something. And I said, we're from Walkabout Baptist. She's like, I'm atheist. I said, well, here, let me just give you a gospel tract, and I'll have some first. She goes, I don't believe in God. You know, it's easy to walk away going, man, I can't, oh. And it is sad. It is sad to talk to someone like that. But I read verses like this, and I think, man, I wonder if someday she's going to be teaching a Sunday school class. I wonder if someday she's going to be standing in front of first and second graders sharing her testimony, or at some ladies' conference. Hey, I was outspoken. People came to my door trying to tell me about the Lord. And at that time, I didn't have anything to do with it. I was a blasphemer. I was injurious. I was causing harm to the cause of Christ. But now, by God's mercy, here I am. Can you look back in your life and look back at what you were? And the thought that God would allow you to serve him. Our path has been paved not only with God's goodness and grace, but also his mercy. Did I say the last verse? I have one more verse on the back. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Psalm 145 and verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. I don't always know where I'm going. I don't know what's ahead. I don't know what he's got to protect me from. I don't know about the wolves. I don't know about the dips and valleys. But every time I look back, all I see are two things, his goodness and his mercy. Let's all stand this morning. Maybe this morning, just for a moment, as I was talking, anybody know what the word means? Tuned out or zoned out, right? Maybe you were just thinking about your life. You're thinking about when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been thinking about His goodness. You were thinking about His mercy in your life. And you look back on that path, and yes, there's been ups and downs and winding paths, but guaranteed the days as a child of God, you follow the good shepherd, you can look back and say, God, you've been good, you've been merciful. Leads me to this thought. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And I trust you for the next step. If I look back and I see how far you've brought me, surely I can trust you for the next step. Maybe you're wondering. Maybe you've been wandering. And this morning you just want to come back and say, God, I've wandered off. I haven't been listening. I haven't been obeying you. I'm sorry. But I choose to follow you today. Lord, I need another dose of that mercy. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, man, I'm here to tell you, you're missing out. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Say, this world is a mess. Absolutely, 100%. Get as close to Christ as you possibly can. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this short time of invitation. Maybe some just want to come and thank you. Maybe some want to correct course. Maybe some want to come and cry out to you and God say something like this, Lord, lead me in the next step. I've had some doubts, I've had some fears. But as I look back, God, I know that you've always been good and you've always been merciful. Lord, help me to just follow. Lord, give me courage. Lord, I do ask that you bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? Maybe you just want to come and thank the Lord.